Blog Talk Radio.
Saturday, July 7th, 2018, you're listening to the Torch Livecast, a.k.a. The Deep Dive with Rich Fan. I am, of course, Rich Fan. This week, we're going to be talking, because we're a few hours away from the start of the G1 special in Cisco, about New Japan Pro Wrestling, Shin Nihon Pro Wrestling, and what or need the change to adapt to a North American audience. And of course, if we want to talk to our audience, we need you to call in. Give us a call at 515-605-9345. That's 515-605. Or if you're so inclined, you can always choose to email us at pwtdive@gmail.com. That's pwtdive@gmail.com. And this week I am in luck because the continue their ever running two-man quest. Win the hearts and souls, the minds of the Saturday Livecast brethren. One of my best friends in the world, Chris Maitland, who you've heard several times on the show, will be joining me as of now. Chris, welcome back to the Deep Dive.
Thank you. Glad to be on.
So before we get started with wrestling, I am looking at my notes and my question. Is it coming home?
Well, first of all, I want to say I'm very happy that Croatia won. I think I was rooting for Croatia. We're talking about the World Cup, by the way, for those who may not know what we're talking about. I think I was happier that Croatia won than England. But England played well. Sweden is a sort of limited team. They have a kind of style of play. And the worst thing that could happen to them is that they give up the first goal. And it'll be an interesting semifinal. Between England and Croatia, though I think the winner is coming between France or Belgium.
I'm gonna let the Croatia commentary, because first of all, you have a team that's fielded with Abaga, the ancient, you know, witch of Eastern European lore. I don't care what they say his name is, a 19th century witch that somehow snuck onto that national team. And having played for Tottenham, but Russia, I thought, did as well as they could, given they had guys in order to field a capable squad, and they got rid of the one dude up front, Zuba, who had his set of chances but had run out of gas because he didn't have enough time playing with Zenit because they were too busy trying to insinuate he was hurt when he really wasn't, and he's a bit of a firecracker. But for those of you who don't follow soccer, I'm sure at this point your eyes have glazed over. Do not worry. So, Chris, with that in mind, you brought this idea to me. Why don't you explain about today, and then we can kind of dive right into it.
Sure, I will. You're cutting out a little bit. I don't know if that's me or your line, but just to let you know.
No, it might be me. I have, for the first time in 10 years, I am in a residence hall for the program I have to do with my day job here at Pitt. So it may be, in fact, me.
Okay. Pitt, by the way, a wonderful university.
Yes.
This topic came up a few weeks ago. I think I was watching Dominion, and unlike you, I don't wake up early and watch it live because I just can't do that. But I usually I do subscribe to New Japan World, so I'll watch it on a delay. And so I was reading the reviews. If I remember correctly, Dominion was on a Saturday. And I was reading reviews on a Sunday about the show and how great it was, certain things, Kenny Omega winning, and how this is great because this is how we can expand New Japan to North America. And that sort of kind of thought process and the things I was reading didn't sit well with me. Nothing against people noted that a lot of the people who won at that show were non-Japanese talent. And to me, I kind of got into this whole kind of thought process of, what really should New Japan do to expand? How are they expanding? Should New Japan just present their show to more people, or should they change their show to get more people to watch? I think it's a very interesting question to look at, especially today. They're having a show tonight. I'm sure all of you who are watching on Access or will watch on Access, the G1 special, I'm sure we'll talk about that. And a lot of people have talked about New Japan on Access, how it's grown, and now they're actually having shows in New York, in the United States. I said New York, I think, as a Freudian slip, because I wanted to have it New York and not California, because it would be easier for me to go to. And so I think that's how that topic came up, and just wanted to talk about exactly what New Japan is and how they can expand, and why do people think they need to do things differently than the way they've kind of grown over popularity in the last, you know, 4 or 5 years.
And for you, I know the biggest issue was the celebration of the fact that there were so many gaijin that were champions and so like Kenny Omega being North American. Is that something that stands out? Because I think it's more that he is kind of like their version of Juice Robinson. He was a person that wrestled in the United States and made good in Japan, but really to the end.
Well, I think a lot of it comes from the commentary that you're hearing. So for me, I'm hearing American or North American commentary on New Japan because I don't speak Japanese. So I'm hearing that context. I think that obviously the people in Japan who've watched New Japan and all Japan, all the promotions have had love for foreigners for years, going back to Bruiser Brody or Stan Hansen or the Funks or Scott Norton or Vader or whoever. So I don't think it's that necessarily that the fans in the crowd were rooting for Kenny Omega or so happy that he won. It was more that, well, this is what New Japan needs to be able to be accepted in America. They don't need Okada, or they don't need them. Like, the face shouldn't be Okada. The face shouldn't be Naito or Tanahashi or someone else. It needs to be someone like Kenny Omega. And kind of the thought process behind that seemed very odd to me. And I didn't really agree with it personally. And that's kind of where I was coming from.
Now, I'm looking down the list here, and there are a number of people as far as the champions go. Colleague here at the Torch, Alan 4L, is a big fan of Switchblade, whereas I like the wrestler. I don't know if he's gotten the character down yet, whereas Alan feels he's like right. His case. How do you see his championship reign, and does that kind of tie into your theory a little bit of the over-reliance on – because for him, in his case, he's a Kiwi, but the over-reliance on non-Japanese personnel to kind of sell what New Japan has as a friendly product?
Well, I don't know if necessarily he's an example of an over-reliance on North America or North American personnel or non-Japanese personnel. He's sort of like their pet project in a lot of ways. He was in the dojo. He was in Ring of Honor on Excursion, and he came back and got a huge push. I mean, he came back and challenged Tanahashi. You know, it's very funny not to go too much into WWE, but people, you know, don't like when certain people got pushed. But, I mean, in the last 7 months since Jay White came back, he challenged Tanahashi. He challenged Omega and beat Omega, and Omega hasn't lost much in the last year. And basically pretty much put out there that he would challenge Okada at some point. I just think for him, the Switchblade gimmick, it doesn't suit him. I kind of agree with you. Not that it's a bad gimmick, but he doesn't have that. Switchblade, to me, seems to be someone who's going to have a beard, be a little bit more grizzled. Like, Switchblade's a gimmick that he might have in 5 years. He's obviously an excellent wrestler, and I think him and Juice Robinson are going to have a great match tonight. They've had a good story over the last few weeks, but I don't know if Switchblade is the right name for him.
Ooh, and I got a question for you that's coming in from one of my colleagues here. The tweet, Mike Mills, Mike 504 Saints asked, you know, I don't watch much New Japan. That said, how excited should I be for tonight's show?
I think that, well, one of the things I love about New Japan, and this just comes from my own wrestling background, is the ability to watch different types of wrestling. It's a lot easier now. It hasn't been that easy since probably the 80s. And I think that if you like storylines, if you like good in-ring action, if you like something different, and the opportunity for it to be accessible to you, I think this is a great example. I think people should be really excited, especially since, you know, the headliner or the main event are two known wrestlers in America, Cody and Kenny Omega, but there are also other people on the show that you will see and that you may have heard about. So I think people should be very excited because you don't get an opportunity to see this type of show live in the United States too often.
And I would add to that, the top four matches are probably going to be pretty exciting. And for those of you who know what the card is, bear with me. When we come back, I'll hit you up with the card. I think those four matches are pretty exciting here when we get back on the Deep Dive.
Hey, PW Torch fans, it's Sam Roberts, the last professional broadcaster, here to tell you about my podcast, Sam Roberts Wrestling Podcast. Every Thursday morning on iTunes, on Stitcher, on Spotify, on YouTube, notsam.com, wherever you get podcasts, you will find it. Interviews with the A-list of pro wrestling, whether it's Stone Cold Steve Austin, Shawn Michaels, Roman Reigns, Daniel Bryan, just recently Corey Graves, Mauro Ranallo. They're all guests of Sam Roberts Wrestling Podcast, as well as regulars like Dan Soder and one of my favorite people to talk about pro wrestling with, Wade Keller. Plus, every week we do a deep dive and analyze what's going on in the world of pro wrestling this week with the state of wrestling. Bruce Pritchard calls it the best interview in wrestling podcasts. I don't know if that's true, but that's what Bruce Pritchard says. Subscribe now. Get it every Thursday morning across podcast platforms or get the premium version at stitcher.com/notsam.
All right. Welcome back to the Deep Dive with Chris and Rich. We are here talking about New Japan, talking about the issue of how much do they need to change in order to be accepted by a North American audience talking to you. So give us a call, air code 515-605-9345. That's 515-605-9345. And before we went to break, I was talking about the idea of the top four matches on the card because Mike had asked, how excited should I be as a person that isn't necessarily watching? And the four big matches are Kenny Omega, IWGP Heavyweight Champion versus Cody, IWGP U.S. Heavyweight Champion Jay White versus Juice Robinson, IWGP Junior Heavyweight Champion Hiromu Takahashi versus, and even though there is no title on the line, Will Ospreay and Kazuchika Okada versus Bushi and Naito, which is Bushi in our lifetime.
And I think the one good thing about that, sorry, just to add on.
Oh, no, go ahead, Chris.
Unlike WWE, for people who watch, the issue I've had with WWE, and I've stopped watching it, is that all the matches are the same, basically. The people are just wearing different clothing. And I think the one thing that I like about New Japan is that the matches are different. The match you very rarely see a New Japan match where the best match is one of the first three or four matches, even though they're very good, but they're different. And I think if you like to see wrestling, a wrestling show where matches are presented differently, this is a good show for you.
Especially if you get a chance, for those of you who are VIP members, and if you aren't, there'll be some information at the end to tell you why you should be. Listen to Wade Keller on the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling podcast on Podcast One, where he talked with Cody about New Japan and how Cody's used the analogy recently of if you're a musician playing music, WWE essentially gives you the sheet music, tells you what you have to play when you want to play it. And Cody is in the independents. He's learning, hey, I want to play music the way I like it. And he cited that Gato is outstanding at just telling you, here's where things need to go. You guys figure out the rest. Might need X, Y, and Z included in the course of that just for other storylines, but this is what we're going to trust you to do what you need to do. And, you know, there's something to be said that the New Japan main event style, the WWE main event style, I would say are equal in terms of the work rate being put in by the wrestlers. It's that interstitial period. It's that card where New Japan guys will have such a variety of abilities. Like you might have a 5-minute Hiromu match that would be a third from the bottom of the card. That's pretty exciting, but it isn't going to be as good as what I think will be one of the show stealers in this match between his eternal feud with Dragon Lee for the now for the junior heavyweight title. What do you think, Chris, about looking at that and flipping it on its head, the undercard? Because one of the matches that stood out to me is the 10-man tag that should be open in the show. Sho Yo, Rocky Romero, Gato, and Chase Owens.
Your boy Yoshihashi.
Yeah, my boy Yoshihashi. I'm hoping the man I mentioned last on the side of Bullet Club takes care of him for me. You got Chase Owens, Yoshihashi, Tangaloa, Tamatanga, and King Haku.
How cool is it to see Haku? I mean, you're watching people who watch the Andre the Giant documentary on HBO. You should know that his last major angle, or one of his last major angles in WWF, was the colossal connection of the tag team with Haku, who's wrestling on tonight's New Japan show. So put that into context. Pretty interesting. I think an example of that is like, this is a really, you know, in New Japan, they have a lot of different tag team matches to get people on the show, which is also good because it makes, one, it makes the other matches special, and two, you get to see a different thing, a different aspect of certain people. I mean, Haku's, I guess, is in his 50s, so you know, he's not going to wrestle a 20-minute match, but he can be there with his sons, and you have different type of characters on the show. I think it's going to be interesting, and it's a good way to opener. It's not necessarily the American opener, get everybody excited, just kind of a match to get a few guys on the show who you know who are New Japan regulars. Those are two factions, Chaos and Bullet Club, and sort of settle in. So I think it'll be a very good opener for that reason.
And personally, I mean, to your point about New Japan being New Japan, I think this is a definitive New Japan opening match. You got a little comedy with some of the characters involved as far as Gato and Rocky. I'm sure Yujiro, Tokyo Pimp, we'll have some silliness, and that kind of continues. Toru Yano and Tomohiro Ishii versus ZSJ and Minoru Suzuki. For some reason, I think in my life I'm only destined to enjoy one silly person in the pantheon of New Japan, and for some reason I hung my hat on Yano. An idiot against Suzuki and Sabre will be something I enjoy, as opposed to maybe the stylings of a.
Yeah, and those guys, again, Suzuki and Zack Sabre are two different type of wrestlers you wouldn't necessarily see on WWE. In fact, Ishii as well, different, just being sort of like a fighter. Probably the wrestler who'd be most likely on that match to be WWE would be Toru Yano. Like a comedy guy, but it's they, right. You know, Yano and Suzuki have had this sort of interesting kind of feud that's very easy for people to get into. Suzuki is this MMA shoot fighter, Yano is a goof, but sometimes the goof trips up the shoot fighter, and you know, Suzuki's sadistic and he's crazy, but sometimes he can make a mistake and Yano will capitalize with all silliness. And they've had a good feud, they've wrestled the G1 a couple of years, and I'm sure that this match will be an extension, as well as Suzuki and Yano, Suzuki and Ishii, excuse me, wrestled last week in Rep Pro and on New Japan shows. And they've had a feud that began in Dominion, so that will be the continuation of that as well. So I think that'll be very interesting.
And then we move on. We have Kushida and Hiroshi Tanahashi versus Hangman Page and Marty Scurll. Now for this one, I think Marty has kind of ingratiated himself. He feels like a New Japan regular. Hangman Page, I've been the last, I want to say, 6 months. This is the year of the year before Hangman Page. So this is the year where people figure out, hey, this guy, 2019 is going to be when he either wins a major title or he starts to get the accolades. I think his wrestling has started to kind of pull in for him. And this is also that North American-centric match. A man trained in Japan by way of Canada, one of the pure aces of the sport, and a gentleman from the United Kingdom. I think him and Hangman, especially because of being the elite, have a strong North American presence.
definitely. I mean, Hangman has improved so much in the last year or so. Marty Scurll, the only thing with him with gets me kind of crazy is that he's the villain and people cheer for him, but that's a whole different wrestling psychology podcast, which is probably like a 5-hour podcast. Someone like Kushida is probably one of the most underrated wrestlers, in a way a little bit kind of, I don't say forgotten, but kind of pushed in the background a little bit in the junior heavyweights. And in some way, sometimes his teammate in this match, Tanahashi, also been kind of pushed in the background, but they're such big stars that they can be on the third match in this show. But if they were main eventing the next show, like if they told you that the next IWGP junior heavyweight defense would be against Kushida and the next IWGP heavyweight championship defense would be against Tanahashi, you wouldn't be surprised because they're at that level. But on this show, they don't have to be in a major match. So the place on the card here is pretty good for them.
And I think we're going to break between the matches before we jump. Actually, you know what? Let's finish these up and we'll take our calls. The never open weight between Hirooki Goto and Jeff Cobb is interesting because Cobb is more of a West Coast guy. Being in San Francisco, that's kind of his playground. And Goto, to be honest, on the card are very heavy chaos laden. And of the members of Chaos, Goto is probably my favorite, even if you include He Who Shall Not Be Named in the list.
Are you like Goto less? Do you like Yoshihashi?
Yeah, mainly because the reason Goto joined is because they beat him so many times, he just gave up and said, okay, I'm in.
To me, Goto is the guy who, and I think you made this reference before, is the guy that people thought would be the star player, but he's like a very good role player. And so he's not going to make the all-star team, but he'll help you win a championship. And you need him on the team, you just kind of had higher expectations. But he does very well in his role. And the match he had with Michael Elgin about a few weeks ago was really good, and he's had a history of good matches. I think this is a good showcase for Jeff Cobb, who's kind of had a few, not say a cup of coffee with New Japan, but he wrestled on a couple tours, and he wrestled in the tag league last year. This is an example for him to showcase, not only for the fans watching in the United States, but also for all the people in Japan to kind of see him on that level wrestling with Goto. I think it'll be a very good showcase for him.
And then final kind of stanza here is the IWGP heavyweight. I should very, very much focus on the Young Bucks. Recently deposed Evil, and as they said on being the Elite during their training session with their trainer, Sanada, Mr. Sanada.
Well, Evil and Sanada are two wrestlers who've definitely, and I think all of really Los Ingobernables de Japan, as I butcher that, has really taken that gimmick and transposed their career or increased their career by just being just wrestlers and getting into this sort of like gimmick where they've been able to look at a different way from Naito to Hiromu to these guys as well, except maybe Bushi. Bushi's kind of where he is. But this is going to be a very interesting match. You know, the Young Bucks, as much as I am not a fan of their on-screen persona, as personal preference, they are very good wrestlers and they have very good matches. And I think that they will be looking to put on a good show. And I think Sanada and Evil will do the same. So I think that they're developing a good tag team feud here, and I think the Young Bucks probably win, but we'll see how it goes.
Searching for more great pro wrestling talk? Then join me, Jason Powell, host of the free weekly Pro Wrestling Boom podcast. Each week, you'll hear the latest news and analysis from me and my team at ProWrestling.net, along with other pro wrestling media members. Plus, the Pro Wrestling Boom podcast features long-form interviews with notable names in the pro wrestling industry. Subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Downcast, and all your favorite secondary apps, or visit us directly at pwboom.com. Once again, that's pwboom.com.
Now, having gone through the card, I'm going to ask you if we do our first call. But before that, let's actually have our call. So, with that in mind, we're going to call one of our favorite K guest on here, Mr. Kylan Furlow. Welcome.
Why, thank you, Rick. How are you and Chris doing this week?
Great. Thank you for asking.
You are very welcome.
So what do you have for us on this fine Saturday before New Japan's G1 special?
Well, as usual, I came solidly prepared this week. My first question for you and Chris this week is, why, in your opinion, has New Japan had sluggish, by comparison, ticket sales with the G1 special in the California area this time compared to last time? And what can New Japan do to rectify that problem in the future, with considering their announcement of several more U.S.-based New Japan shows throughout the rest of the year?
Chris, you want to take this first?
Sure, I will, and good talking to you, Kylan, as always. I think New Japan, because they have a dojo in California, they want to establish California as their home base more than other places. They kind of have, I wouldn't say an agreement, but they kind of have this, well, they do have an agreement, working relationship with Ring of Honor, where they can appear on their shows. They do War of the Worlds in May. They may do another one in October, which was really successful last year, going to new markets. And I think that they are really focused on California. I think that's sort of a mistake. I think that if you want to have one of the good ideas of the all-in show that's in Chicago, is a place a lot of people want to go to or can get to. I think being in California and not really advertising in the local market, you want to have a place where people can get to pretty easily. And I think they should probably limit themselves to maybe, you know, two shows in California, maybe one somewhere on the East or Chicago. I think that they're really focused on establishing California as the New Japan home base in the United States, and that's why they're going to have as many shows there as possible.
And for me, I think the smartest move that they can make is, especially if there is an all-in two, being a New York venue, in addition to the Young Bucks, I think that would get them a little bit of a nudge. But if it's purely New Japan, I think, like Chris said, it would behoove them to go to Chicago, New York City, essentially hit the places they hit with Ring of Honor, but just with their name brand. And I think they'll draw as many, if not more, people.
That makes sense. Question number two for you guys is in regards to New Japan's talent recruitment strategy. Besides Daniel Bryan, whose contract is up the day of All In, September 1st, is there anyone from an outside promotion such as WWE or Impact Wrestling that New Japan can or should sign to New Japan to further establish that they mean business within the American market?
Well, I mean, the first guy ahead, especially with his contract coming up soon, is Daniel Bryan. But I to be, you know, I don't want to go like radio host, but reading the article that Forbes did on Daniel Bryan, and this out of itself in terms of the craziness of it, I would like to see John Cena take on more of a Rock role, or even, dare I say, a Jericho role, where he does what he wants. At this point, he's already been pushed out of the spotlight as a top guy. He's been declared a party of, you know, the praise of millions anymore. So if he were to show up and wrestle a Tanahashi, that would be something that would put butts in the seats in North America and do it without having giving him the title or a prominent role outside of, look at this match you never would have seen otherwise.
And I think for New Japan to – I think the best thing for New Japan to do is to establish themselves as different. So hiring someone from WWE who's, like, not being looked well really wouldn't benefit them as much. I think they should hire someone outside of WWE as a new star. A lot of their main talent, foreign talent, other than Cody, have never wrestled in WWE. I mean, the person who I think who would be the perfect fit, but for reasons that we may or may not get into, it will not be going there, is Matt Riddle. I think he.
Oh yeah, we can get into it. We definitely can get into
person.
That.
Because of his wrestling style and his history, but obviously due to his past discussions of marijuana and the cultural implications in Japan, there isn't a desire to hire him for that, which to me is unfortunate. But I think someone like him actually would be the perfect person, because I think if you want to differentiate yourself, which is kind of the whole how this came about, differentiate yourself from WWE, you don't want to have, even though someone like Cesaro would do great, or someone like Dolph Ziggler would do great, or Drew McIntyre would be great. They're WWE guys who are there and probably in a year or so may come back to WWE. I think New Japan would want to have their own guys who, hey, they may go to WWE, but you would have had them first. You would have had maybe their best.
And before you get to your next one, Kylan, I because I will point out that New Japan has had their biggest increase in New Japan subscribers, as well as particularly North American subscribers, with the introduction of Chris Jericho into the lineup.
That is true, Rich.
Thank Kylan. Is there anyone you would pluck out? You're the man. You're the wheeler dealer. All the personalities. I am but a humble audio analyst.
Let me see. I have a few, but believe it or not, I would say someone like a Neville would probably do extremely well within the junior heavyweight, or possibly very bottom of the heavyweight division if he were to make a move over to New Japan.
Oh, yeah, I think he did. I mean, he did well when he was in New Japan before he left as Pac. I think if he was able to come back out and, you know, they're basically sitting on his contract like they did Rey Mysterio, who ironically is now looking to get back with them. So they could get a Neville. I think he – I wouldn't say bottom of the heavyweights. I actually think he could go up pretty high because of his physicality. He isn't a guy that looks like – even though he does the Red Arrow, he never looks like – I chime in. Like, he's play acting. Like, Wade always uses the example of Morrison as a person that kind of is playing the role instead of wrestling in a lot of his matches.
Maybe I discredited him because I do have to remember that there's not as much of a size disparity within New Japan in terms of their heavyweight division, because my initial thought was maybe it wouldn't be as believable if Neville went high in the heavyweight division, but I capitulate that point to you, Rich.
And plans for us this evening?
My final question concerns New Japan's television relationship. As much as I commend Mark Cuban for his recognition of the fact that New Japan is assumably Access TV's highest rated program compared to concerts, boxing, MMA, and reruns of the country singer Eddie Money's reality show, or even the David Hasselhoff mini reality show. Do you think Access TV is too small of a platform for New Japan to be on, especially considering the fact that I do not even receive Access TV on my cable platform, and I'm with the second or third largest cable company in America?
Oof, that's a good one. Chris, what do you think?
Sure, I can do that. I guess you're probably a spectrum, I guess.
No, Optimum.
Optimum, okay. Because I was Spectrum, or what was Time Warner is now Spectrum in New York, and they only added Access last year. So to imagine, and you live in New Jersey, so you think about the amount of people that live in that area that don't have Access, for lack of a better word, to Access is quite a lot. Access is also not in the Nielsen ratings, so their ratings are private, which is crazy. Think about every week people discuss WWE's ratings and no one really knows what Access's ratings are. I think that Access is not a big network. It's not really intended to be. It's partly owned by Mark Cuban and CBS, and as Kylan did a very good example of describing a lot of the programs they have. They also have a show with Dan Rather where he interviews different folks as well, one of the few original shows that they have. But they don't have a lot of programming. I think it would be great for New Japan to be on a bigger network, but I think that they're getting very good exposure. And the best thing for them is to be the number one or top-rated show on this network, because the best thing that could happen to them is that a bigger network might say, oh, let's get them. Stay where you are, be comfortable, continue to grow, and someone else might see them as an example, something to put on. But then again, Raw, I think, gets about 2.6 million people. I don't know if New Japan gets 10% of that. So they're probably right in the good place for where they need to be at this time.
I believe they get roughly about 10% of Raw's audience, because at my last check, they get about 250 to 350 to 400,000 viewers a week.
And in the television business, that's low. That's a lot of people if you're online behind them at the grocery store, but in the television business, that's really low, even on cable. So I think for them being – also, they probably don't spend a lot of money to produce the show other than having Jim Ross and Jake Barnett do commentary. So I think that Access and TV Ashai and New Japan have a kind of really good agreement that works for all sides, and I think they should probably stick with that and grow kind of incrementally.
As a matter of fact, Chris, from my understanding, the only thing that Access really spends money on are JR's flights from Oklahoma to Los Angeles to do the commentary, because all him and Josh Barnett are doing is calling matches that are pre-recorded from all of the major shows throughout the year. So all you really have to do is make sure JR makes his flights every 2 weeks. I think you go up to LA and film.
Wow, that's not bad at all. I mean, gosh, I'm thinking about, for me, in terms of the television, I think having a part owner like Cuban that understands New Japan's role. They're not trying to turn them into the number two North American product. They're not trying to compete directly with WWE. They're just trying to find their niche. And I think that was the whole reason I was excited about Chris's idea for this show, is because if they stay in their lane, going to be a need for them to get much bigger on television until the need is. To the example of tonight, the Cow Palace is 10 to 15,000, I think. And that was seen as a failure. Whereas to me, they doubled the number of people who came to the last show. They didn't calibrate it to account for how many that was going to mean, given that you're flying West Coast.
Right. Which is sad that us wrestling fans, and I don't necessarily include me, because I understand what you just said, and I think if you know me, you know that I'm not one of these cynical, excuse my French here, dingleberries that that one is just say, oh, why is wrestling like this? This is horrible. New Japan failed us because they didn't sell out all 14,000 seats. Oh, that's a shame. They need to go belly up. But, you know, there are plenty of cynical wrestling fans out here that would be super happy to be allowed to say that New Japan failed, just so they can get their jollies off of hearing their own voice when doing a show like this on one of the other 5,000 wrestling podcasts that are out here.
Well, this is, we appreciate that you're so positive and that you're so truthful. It's not like you're going to call something out if you see it, but you're not necessarily looking to harp on every issue. Thank you very much for calling in this week. I'm looking forward to next month when we can do our show together. And is it still going to be wrestling TV and wrestlers appearances in TV shows, or are you going to keep us on our toes?
It sure is. And as a matter of fact, looking at the date, which I believe you gave me August 25th.
Correct.
That happens to be the day of my 16th anniversary as a fan.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
A little
celebration of Kylan in addition to some fun stuff with wrestling and television.
I'm looking forward to it. I hope our audience is too. I'm already doing the research on episodes I think we'll be looking at, so I'm going to have some excellent stuff ready to go.
Excellent. Well, you have a wonderful rest of your weekend. Enjoy the New Japan, and it's always a pleasure.
You too. I enjoyed it as usual.
All right, everybody, that was Kylan. Always a pleasure to have him on. And when we come back, Chris and I are going to discuss some of the wrestlers on the card proper and answer some more questions when we get back here on The Deep Dive.
PW Torch Livecast listeners, I'm Wade Keller, and I urge you to be sure that you're also subscribing to the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast at Podcast One and the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show. All you have to do is search Wade Keller in Apple Podcasts or whatever podcast app you use on your Apple or Android device to subscribe to both feeds. There's a red brand covering Raw and SmackDown every Monday night and Tuesday night, and it's downloadable a couple hours after the show. And then there's also the Wade Keller Podcast Flagship Edition on Thursdays with a rotation of co-hosts, including Jason Powell from ProWrestling.net, Todd Martin, Bruce Mitchell, and others. And then there's our Interview Friday edition. Every Friday, I'm joined by a guest who has worked in the wrestling business, including ex-WWE creative team members like Kevin Eck talking about Drew McIntyre.
Drew was a young guy, and did it go to his head, and did he walk around like he was the chosen one? He did, and I was frank with him, and I said, Drew, just so you know, this is how they view you.
And Podcast One's own Christian Harlaw talking about his days working for WWE and Vince McMahon specifically.
As far as their perception of him, I mean, he's the king. He walks in, and it's just, you can feel it. I mean, if the force was real, you would feel the force powering into the room when he enters.
And pro wrestlers, including NWA World Heavyweight Champion Nick Aldis, also known as Magnus, talking about the challenges facing Ronda Rousey as she transitions from MMA to WWE.
Think about like the press conferences and stuff like that. They just, someone tells them like, all right, now it's your turn, go out there, right? I'm sure if you ask Ronda, she'd probably say this moment is the result of hundreds of people's work, meticulous preparation and planning and timing and everything. And now suddenly it's like, God, and that can be very overwhelming.
Just search Wade Keller on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen to podcasts. Support what we do here at the PW Torch Livecast when you shop Amazon. Simply go to pwtorch.com/Amazon. We've simplified the page. There's a big Amazon logo. You click on it. It takes you right to Amazon's homepage. But because of that small detour, we get credit for your visit, and we get a commission on anything you buy on that shopping trip. That's pwtorch.com/Amazon. Thank you very much for your support.
Back to the deep dive with Chris and Rich. We are here talking New Japan, talking how much they need to change to get into the American zeitgeist when it comes to fandom, what they need to do with access, what they need to do to spread their tendrils into the Eastern. And, of course, we're talking with you about it. So make sure you give us a call at area code 515-605-9345. That's 559-345. Or you can always email us at pwtdive@gmail.com. And Chris, excited about tonight. In an hour here on the Eastern East Coast, we'll start the show. The big question I have for you in terms of selling to an American audience is moving to longer and longer shows. I'm looking at this match listing. How do they keep it under 3 hours?
I don't know if it's going to be under 3 hours. It might be closer to four. I think one of the things is if you're going to have a show that's long, have it on a Saturday night so that Sunday is a day of rest, or if you're one who goes to church, then can do that, as I will be doing tomorrow. I think that one of the issues the WWE's had is that they have these shows now seem to be 4, 5, 6 hours all the time, and I think that that's part of the reason too, also, that the early matches aren't supposed to be big-time matches. They're supposed to be 5 to 10-minute matches so that the times for the main event and the overall show doesn't go too long. So I think that that mentality will help them.
And what do you think is, when it comes to the last portion of this chat, and that's the future for New Japan and North America, what's realistic for them? And what do you sacrifice to maintain that? So do you? I know you don't think they need Kenny Omega to be the champion of all time in order to win North America, but what do you do to sell North Americans that this is a product they should watch?
Well, I think the first thing is the mentality. The thought process should be, at least I think a lot of people here forget, that this is North America is the secondary business. They have a majority of New Japan shows are in Japan, their biggest shows are in Japan. They cannot lose the focus of the fact that they are a Japanese wrestling promotion that does shows in America, UK, as opposed to the other way around. You don't want to lose your home base. That happens a lot with companies when they overexpand. I think having a dojo is good because it has a presence with wrestlers who are training, as well as the independent scene, to sort of find out who are maybe the next big things that maybe aren't that well known, or they can kind of get on the ground floor with. I think what they're doing is great. They should expand slowly. They should produce good shows. They should maintain their relationships with Ring of Honor, the CMLL, and Rev Pro, and have the different presence of New Japan in all these different places. You know, come to WrestleMania weekend and wrestle at different shows. I don't really think that they should be focusing on going too far too soon, because they're still a growing company. People now may not remember when New Japan was pretty much falling apart, you know, 5-6 years ago. So you don't want to go too crazy now, even though things are on the come up. So I would just kind of maintain, but also don't lose sight of the home base, because the home base is how you got here in the first place. All the people who buy New Japan World and watch on Access are watching for the Japanese New Japan, not something different. So you don't want to lose them.
Yeah. And I wanted to also think about Japan and the WWEization of Japanese fans. A lot of times now when they go to WWE shows, they know what the quote unquote rules are. What the chant, because it's like part of the show. However, with the last few shows, most notably Dominion, I did note there were fans that snuck into the zeitgeist of the Japanese market that are a purely North American product, i.e. this is awesome. How do you kind of – do you curtail that? Do you embrace it?
I think you may have cut out, but I would do anything to curtail this is awesome. I think this is awesome is the worst chant ever. Nothing is as bad as having people chant this is awesome before the match even started. And as you know, if you start attending wrestling show with me, I will chant Chris is awesome. Chris is awesome instead. But I think that, you know, if that's what the people are doing, that's what they're doing. If that's where the fan base is going, you kind of have to roll with it. I guess the question I would have is, and maybe you know this or don't, do they do those kind of chants in matches that have – I mean, if Ishii is fighting Suzuki, do they chant this is awesome? Or do they only chant that when they're two – you know what I mean? That's kind of the thing where any match in America that people like, no matter what it is, they'll chant that. In New Japan, I think those chants are only relegated for certain matches, and so therefore it's not for everyone, and that's kind of going to keep it away from being a whole full-blown thing.
All right, and then what do you think of the idea of more excursions into the United States for the trainees as opposed to more appearances by the company proper?
I think it depends. I mean, I think New Japan has a very big roster, and that they're running a lot. They just ran so many shows between Japan and England, and now they're running this week, plus they have the G1 coming up in the summer. I think that they have a good, relationship with Rev Pro and CMLL and Ring of Honor. I think they should just maintain that from the standpoint of, they have to keep their main people for their shows. They don't want to send too many guys out. You know, you don't want to send Okada away for 6 months and he can't wrestle on your shows. But I think for wrestlers who need experience or wrestlers who may not be part of the main program, I think that if you're someone who isn't booked for G1, they should send them to Ring of Honor for 2 months or send them to Rev Pro for 2 months where they can be involved in a program and further that relationship. I think that may be something they want to look into as their roster expands.
Excellent. A quick, because I realized in our chat I didn't take my final break, so let's take it now. When we come back, we're going to finish these thoughts and more here on The Deep Dive.
Don't just listen to PW Torch's brand of wrestling coverage. Read it too, every day at pwtorch.com. Join me Monday nights for my live coverage of Raw, Tuesday nights for my live coverage of SmackDown, Sunday nights for my live coverage of WWE pay-per-views, and keep up on the news and read exclusive editorials and special features every day at pwtorch.com.
See, that was painless. We're back here on the deep dive with Rich and Chris. Some of my Wi-Fi issues may be making me cut out, as Chris mentioned. So apologies. In the dorm. It is back. It is weird. I'm 37. This is not good. I wanted to close shop talking about the future, getting them out there, and then yourself as an individual product and not be a subsidiary of the WWE machine. But how do you handle the slings and arrows? Like this time 2 years ago, Japan was on its way, and January came, and AJ Styles and Gallows and Anderson and, you know, a lot of that Bullet Club momentum kind of, oh yeah, that guy Shinsuke Nakamura left too. This October or November, as Cody mentioned in his interview with Wade, is going to be very interesting because his contracts are coming due. The Bucks contracts are coming due. Do all four of them go to the WWE? And does that in turn open doors? Naito, the next Hiromu, the next Young Bucks, who would take specifically that foursome's spot, and how do you maintain your North American?
Part of it is that people have to remember when those guys that you mentioned left, where was Kenny Omega, where was Naito? They were not big stars. I mean, Naito, that same Tokyo Dome show, they were both in the middle of the card, and they decided to push them. And one of the good things about New Japan's booking, now the talent takes their part in it, but they are able to find people, cultivate them, book them in a way to get them popular. I mean, we watch, in the space of probably 1 year, I watched Naito, you and I and our friend Gil watched Naito and Elgin, Michael Elgin, wrestle probably the match with the least amount of heat at a War of the Wars show in Philadelphia for Ring of Honor. And then about a year later, I watched him wrestle ACH, and he was the most popular guy on the show. So I think that there are people who you don't even see or even think of in that role who, if these guys left, would be put into that category, because New Japan is a company that thinks is a forward-thinking company, and they think ahead. So I think if they knew someone was leaving, they would have someone else ready to go. And that's why you kind of see people getting kind of pushed to a certain level, because maybe that is Juice Robinson. Maybe that is Jay White. Maybe that is David Finlay.
And out of that group, in your humble opinion right now, gun to your head, who do you say is the guy they should hitch their wagon to if that happened?
It's tough to say. For me, I would actually have to say that it's Juice Robinson, only because he's different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he may not be the best wrestler, but he's just a different character, and I think his character is really good and could work with a lot of different people. He's kind of like a guy who likes to have fun, but he'll fight. And I think that kind of character in wrestling has had a good longevity because they can be different in different situations. So I'd have to go with him. Who would you pick?
Okay. And now I'm gonna change things up before we get out of here, because I've been thinking about this for a while, and you're one of the best to talk to about this. For those of you who like New Japan and don't necessarily like soccer, I apologize, but I think you'll make it plain in a second. One of the reasons I'm really intrigued with this year is I've been very enamored with Gareth Southgate's obsession with and how he can transfer the movement skills in them and the deception of body language into soccer. And for pro wrestling, particularly with New Japan vis-a-vis WWE, they can't out-position a 500-pound gorilla, but they can move around them. No way to get into American homes without having to get into a turf war with television. Signing these obscure talents and developing them is a way to get around the WWE/NXT world of, you know, we need a hard camp, even though Shinsuke Nakamura had a hard camp for several years he looked at, but that's beside the point. What is the way that New Japan can innovate over this next year in a position where they can get more eyeballs on them without bankrupting themselves to do it?
I think they're sort of starting that process. I think really having live shows. It's one thing to be a television product, but being there is really important. One of the things that people criticize the Premier League for is the Premier League is moving to a TV product, but the TV product is selling the home environment. So if you lose the home environment, the TV product isn't that good, which is why I think New Japan's expansion is actually the right level. You know, do a few shows to get people into seeing the New Japan products home at home, and maybe a few will go to see shows in Japan. And you've seen that with people going to Tokyo Domes and Dominions. I think that really having shows here, giving people a few tastes of the New Japan apple is probably the best way for them to kind of innovate. And I think also, too, just they present a different product than WWE. And a lot of the people listening to this show who visit with us as a PW Torch are aware of that. And I think just doing what they're doing and continuing to be on American television and producing shows that take place in America will help further their U.S. presence and further their notoriety.
Awesome. Ask for a better answer than that, my friend. So before we get out of here, why don't you tell the fine folks where they can find the social media tip and anything you'd be interested in plugging?
I don't have much to plug. I'm on Twitter at Mind of Maitland. I don't tweet that much, which I say every time I'm on the show. I should tweet more, especially since I found other people on Twitter who like to make fun of you, and they don't know you as long as I have, and I feel like we could all become great friends for the Self-Destruction of Rich Friend podcast coming soon to you. But thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it. I didn't have to consult any of my lawyers in the Pittsburgh area to get me on the show. So I hope to do it again real soon.
Excellent. And I'm sure that you and have, like, you know, a tete-a-tete when next he is up north, because he resides down south. So you guys are keeping it real. And I appreciate you, as always, my friend, taking the time out. And the listeners, texts and tweets I was getting before the show were very excited. And I felt like we delivered. So be well. Best to the family. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Thank you. You as well.
All right, guys. That was Chris. This is me about to sign off. And before I get out of here, as always, every week, I want to challenge you to dive into something new, go into a new experience, challenge yourself to go beyond where you think you can go. And also next week, I want to give you a preview. We're going to be chatting with, let's take a look here at the old list, Brandon from the Why So Serious pod. And we're going to talk about the big old dog in the room. And we're talking Roman Reigns and why people need, because Brandon's fed up. Till next week, here's some words from the boss man about how you can be a VIP. And when you go VIP, you get over 30 years of Torch experiences, including writer par excellence, Bruce Mitchell, Dr. Wade Keller, Sean Radican, The Fix with Todd Martin, Urson DeRoche, Sean Covington, Cameron Hawkins, That Guy Travis Bryant, Keep Me Awake, and more. And it's only a pittance compared to your WWE TV. It's a pittance going to Starbucks 3 days in a week. I sell it more, but I think he does it more eloquently. And if you're coming to All In, I'll be happy to hang out with you for a little bit. I will not be the main event. Semper Vivi has joked that we should have a Jace All-In program similar to StarCast, but I don't know if we're going to do that because I think the boss would fire me. Anywho, I've deviated enough for now, and you guys have a great Saturday. Enjoy New Japan.
PW Torch Livecast listeners, this show can be ad-free and commercial-free with a VIP membership. VIP members not only enjoy all 7 episodes of the PW Torch Livecast with no commercials and the ads and plugs edited out, but they also get ad-free addition to the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling post-shows and the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling podcast. Also, part of a VIP membership and exclusive shows such as the Every Single Day Wade Keller Hotline, the three times a week Bruce Mitchell Audio Show, including a new weekly mailbag edition with Bruce, The Fix with Todd Martin that I also host, post-pay-per-view roundtables that I host, and other shows on specific topics, including the new Talking Honor podcast with Lola and Harley discussing the latest in ROH, including a review of the latest TV show. And now we are proud to announce that Alan Cunahan, known as Alan4L, has brought his talents to PW Torch after many years at The Observer. And there's a lot of excitement about his new weekly show called Alan4L's Pro Wrest Paradise, with the best coverage of New Japan, all of Japan, the UK indie scene, including the US indie scene. So be sure to become a PW Torch VIP member for as little as $8.25 a month on average, and have multiple new VIP exclusive and ad-free podcasts every day on customizable feeds on your iPhone and Android device. For more information and our sign-up form, go to pwtorch.com/govip, and you'll find out what else comes with VIP membership, including a weekly newsletter, over 1,500 back issues of the Pro Wrestling Torch weekly newsletter that started it all, ad-free access to our mobile and desktop sites, and more. Full lineup, full details, and the sign-up form at pwtorch.com/govip.